welcome to the Labrador podcast from Tales of Success Labrador Training. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Labrador podcast. It's the official podcast from Tales of Success Labrador Training. I'm your host, Vicky Sharp, and today we've got a wonderful guest lined up for you. I'm thrilled to be speaking with Jules, who is a very devoted staff member to a lovely Labrador and a golden oldie golden retriever. Jules has got a wealth of personal experience to share. She's got her own two dogs, who we're going to chat about during the episode, but she's also a professional dog walker. So I'm sure she has seen her fair share of the ups and downs of dog ownership and knows all too well how much time and effort needs to be invested to develop a lovely lifelong connection with your Labrador. Whether you're new to Labrador parenting or you're a seasoned pro, grab yourself a cuppa, get yourself a cozy spot, and let's get to know Sunny and Deepa. Jules, a very, very warm welcome to you. Thank you for joining me. I'm going to get you to kick things off today by telling us all about your dogs. So tell us who you've got, how old they are, and also a little bit about their characters.
Oh, thank you, Vicky. Thank you for having me. Yes, I've got a golden retriever who is called Sunny. He's 12 years old now. I can't believe he's 12 years old. I had him when he was 1 year old. He was sadly a family member split up, and we lost our black Labrador, who she was 13 years old, and very sadly, it took us 2 years before we even thought about getting another dog. But Sunny came to us and we took him for a walk and we've had him ever since. He's very gentle, very, very laid back. I've never had an ounce of trouble with Sunny. But then we decided to extend our family to have another, and he was, I had him at 10 weeks old. It wasn't planned. He wasn't planned at all. It was one of my clients, one of my dear clients' dogs, and they were having a puppy, and she came to us and says, "There's just one left in the litter. Please go and see him, please." I spoke to Rich, my husband, and he went, "Oh, all right. Do we want two dogs, do we?" So we did. We went to see this litter of puppies. And he was the only yellow lab out of four red fox labs. End of story. We brought him home.
You did the absolute worst thing. You went to see a puppy. And actually, I know very few people that have gone to see a puppy and not come away with their name on that puppy. Because how can you refuse a cute 10-week-old puppy?
Especially the only one left in the litter as well, which was... but we couldn't bring him home for a couple of weeks, so he was about 10, 11 weeks old time we got him. We brought him home. Again, I was really lucky. My other clients lent me crate and a pen. So I had this crate and pen in the kitchen, and he settled in from the minute we brought him home. Naively, I didn't even think about Sunny. I thought he would be fine. I didn't even think the puppy wouldn't get on with Sunny. I just thought, it would be absolutely fine. Luckily, they both are fine. But I really wished I thought a little bit harder at the time to think, how are they both going to react? Because Sunny's always only been the only dog. And I just thought, they would be fine together. And they are. But I think... I look back, I should have thought a little bit harder.
How do they get on? And I know they get on well now, but actually that first time you bought this probably quite annoying little puppy, Sunny was probably sitting at home living his lovely life thinking, why have you brought this puppy into my life? Did they get on well? Were they frustrated with each other? Any challenges?
No, not challenges. I still think today I look at Sunny and thinking, is he going now? Is he stayed long enough now? Leaving. I think he looks at me thinking, is he here to stay now? but no, I had no issues with both of them. They both got into the same bed, actually. So that was good. I didn't have huge, but I did really keep a close eye on them and keep them very separated. And people may think this is a little bit wrong, but I've never let Diva upstairs or on the furniture. It was something I had in my mind. I was going to keep boundaries. Son is allowed upstairs, but the puppy isn't. And he hasn't been upstairs for the whole 2 years I've had him. And I think it works really well. It gives Sonny the space to just to go and have a rest.
Yeah, and Deepa probably doesn't think that he's being mistreated there because he doesn't know what he's missing out because he's never had it. You know, he's never been upstairs, so why would he miss that? And I'm a real firm believer that it's your dog, your house, your rules. And just because someone else has their dog on their bed and their sofa does not mean that it's right for everyone. So you must do what's right for you, your situation, and your dog. Now, you said that Sunny kind of coped okay with the new kid coming in, but one of the things I noted is that you didn't get Sunny till he was a year old. So actually, you now bring Deepa in at a 10-week-old puppy. Was that a bit of a shock for you? Because it's usually those first few weeks of people having a puppy that they really struggle with. And I suspect someone else had those challenges for when Sunny was that age.
I mean, Sonny was such an easy dog. I try to look back. He just fitted into our life very easily. When we were walking, he used to go a little bit too far for my liking, but he'd always come back and he was always quite happy. They're quite a relaxed. He's always just been so relaxed. So I think I've had it so easy with Sonny. Now, Deepa's you can't even compare the two dogs. I wouldn't even. He's so different. He's so driven. Deepa's driven. He's loves to work. They love to play. They're just so different dogs. Too different. You know, some were just relaxed and happy. You won't even know he's in the house half the time. That's how different. Well, you know, the Labrador is. Even though I can know he can settle, but even if I move, I know his head just pops up and he's watching every move I make. I just always know. He's there. Even if I'm upstairs now, I know he's just lying at the bottom of those stairs.
Lying there waiting for his next job to
Wait.
do, because Deepa's a working line Labrador, right? And so we know he's got this natural desire to want to be doing quite a lot of the time. Had you considered whether you were going to get a working line or a show line lab before you got him, or was it just the dog appeared, you know, a cute dog and seemed good at the time?
It was just circumstances. Vicky, really, why we got him, and it happened so quickly. I think Rich and I didn't even have time to blink before we just agreed. And I knew what I was going to let myself because I knew it was going to be me. It was going to be training. It was all going to be myself. And I must admit, it took us 2 days before we agreed to this puppy. Because I knew it was going to affect our life. We like to travel. We like to do things. So I know what impact it was going to have on us. But I look back when we lost Elise, our black lab, it took us 2 years. And I thought, you know, it was a big gap in our lives with nothing. And I sort of didn't want that repeating again. So in the back of my mind, thinking, you know, Sonny's 12, reality, anything now is an absolute bonus with him, but it's not going to last forever. So it is quite nice just to have that dog in the house. I think I've lived that and I don't want to do it again. I will always have dogs. So that was our logic.
Okay. Talk to us about Deepa's name because I've never asked you this, but I suspect I know why he's called Deepa. Is it Deepa Dog by any chance?
Is Deepa Dog, yes. Rich and I, we really enjoy our music, and our favourite artist is called Glenn Hansard. He's from The Frames. He's an Irish band, and we see him every year if we possibly can. And one of his stories is that when he was a kid, he always used to have a dog who used to sit on the wall, and the kids always never knew what this dog's name was. And the cars went by, and this dog would bark. And as he was telling this story, he was saying nobody knew this dog's name, so all the kids called it Deepa Dog. So we swore when we got a dog, we'd call him Deepa Dog. Yes.
Nice, nice.
That's why we called him.
Now, I know Diva and Sunny and your other Labrador, they've been a big part of your life, but have dogs been a part of your life forever? So from being a kid, or is this kind of something that's just come into your life as an adult?
I've always liked animals. I'm one of four, the youngest of four, and it's me who's much more the animal lover. Unfortunately, my mum couldn't afford any animals, so I never grew up with any. But all my neighbours did, and at that time when I was a child, just dogs used to wander around. You know, they never really walked, but I'd always be with them. If they wanted to know where I was, they knew I was with the horses up the field or with the dog. So it's always been something dear to me. And when I met Rich, he had this black Labrador. She was about 3 or 4 years old. Since then, she never left my side. And I think Rich always used to think, oh, she's my dog. Look at her. I used to take her for a walk, and she was very sweet. I didn't think I could ever get a dog like her. But then I've got two boys.
Would you say the three of them have all had very different characters? So they've all wanted slightly different things and behaved in slightly different ways?
Oh, definitely, definitely. Elise, she wouldn't leave my side no matter where I went. She was really stuck to me. Where Sonny is people's dog, he loves people going to the pub, he'll sit there, he'll work the pub. You know, people just love him and very calm, very relaxed. Deepa is very much, again, like you were saying, a working dog, likes to work, likes to please, just loves again to be with you. I think it's just the Labrador thing. They just love to be with you. But he's my dog, I think, as well. He is my dog. He's
Yeah.
just a joy to have around as well. And he so wants to please all the time, but he does like a job. He's not like Sonny. He's just quite happy to relax.
Yeah. So you've got Elise, you've got Sunny, and now Deepa. Would you say you have cared for Deepa, trained Deepa a little bit differently to how you did with the first lab and then the golden? So have you treated them differently, I suppose, based on their characters?
Yes, definitely. I knew in my mind when I took Deepa on, I had this expectation, maybe a bit too high of an expectation for me to make sure this dog had boundaries. Earlier we said I'm a dog walker, so I've seen dogs. So in my mind, he had to have boundaries. So the first thing I did, I had him a week. Within days, I was calling myself to say, look, I've got this puppy. I'd really like to have him train, or somebody train me to train him. I've never trained a dog before. I never had to train Lizzie. I never had to train Sunny. But Deepa, definitely, I just had this expectation that I wanted him to be trained.
And you know, I'm glad you did call me, because pretty soon after he came along, we started our online puppy school. So we started those basic foundations pretty much before he had too much opportunity to start making bad habits for himself and getting things wrong. So it was a case of always kind of pointing him in the right direction, really. Talk to us a little bit about training. So what have you done with this boy from day dot, and what do you do with him now? Because knowing you as I do, I know that you still train with him, because why would you stop training? Because dogs are always learning and they're always developing habits. So tell us a little bit about the whole training journey up to this point.
Yeah, after speaking with you, we did the 6 weeks online puppy training, within our living room. It was just me, Stephen, and yourselves, just going through just the basics. And I was just amazed how this young dog, which I'd only had a week in my home, was sucking up these new commands, these new words. And I did a little bit every day, and just was overwhelmed how clever this little thing was. So we did the 6 weeks, and then it was a scent detection, and I don't think he was only 4 or 5 months old.
Yeah,
I think
I think
that's the
when you and Deepa did the scent detection program with us, he was probably one of the youngest ones that I would normally take. So I normally like him to be a little bit older, but he definitely had this desire to want to be doing stuff, which is why,
yeah.
you know, he was the perfect candidate, really.
Yes, and again, I just love that with him. We did it in the house and around the house, and I still continue the scent training. Most days there's always a little bit of cardboard in my pocket with clove oil on it. It absolutely stinks. But I put it in a bag, and if he's a little bit forward away from me when I'm walking outside, I just hide it and get him to search. He just loves that, absolutely loves that. Every day I do something with him, even if it's just the small things, making him sit by the doors being open, because he is a little bit of a pocket rocket. He's a very slight Labrador. He's not a big Labrador. I think he's only 24 kg. He is smaller than the average lab I see anyway, but he is a bit of a pocket rocket. So those boundaries of him waiting, so before I get him to sit, I put his collar on, I get him to wait, I open the door, I let Sonny out, and then let him out. Just every day, just the small things like that, even the gate, let him sit, wait. I mean, he's looking at me, chomping, saying, "Come on, let's go." And lead walk constantly, doing work. And even today, it's not perfect. It's not perfect, but he's not bad.
You know what? We often strive for perfection. And what I can tell you is, I'm not perfect. You're probably not perfect. Deepa's almost perfect, but there's always challenges. And every dog will have their little kind of their little hang up where they're not quite as good at something as we would like. But by the flip side, they might be really good at a different thing. You've just mentioned about the training that you do every day, and the way you've described it are that training is taking place during your normal routine and your normal walks. Am I right in thinking that that's how you train them rather than dedicating an hour every day just to train? Do you manage to slip it into your daily routine?
Yeah, every day, every walk I do, I try to slip. I do if I like. We've got all busy lives, and sometimes it's hard to even dedicate 10, 15 minutes just you and your dog every day. But if you just put it into your routine, even if you're in the kitchen and I'm walking around, I use close instead of heel. And I'll just walk around and stay close, and he's at my side, because lead walk is one thing I really wanted to crack. More than anything, I wanted to crack. So, and we're still working on it 2 years down the road. We're still working. But like I say, he's not bad, but I wish he would just be a little bit more by my side. But yeah, going back, just before you even step out, just stop and think and let your dog wait. And you don't realise that that is training. That is getting them to think about what's going to happen.
And training your dog to walk to heel or to walk in that close position, it doesn't have to be with a lead attached. It doesn't have to be outdoors. Every day in the morning, if you're the type of person that has a cup of tea in the morning, well, start getting your dog to heel as you're walking around the kitchen and your living room, drinking your cup of tea or the garden. That's a good couple of minutes each day where you can just practice that routine. And as much as you can fit into daily life without thinking you've got to dedicate hours and hours to dedicated training sessions, will take the pressure off you as the person that's training the dog and make it a bit more enjoyable. And I think that's kind of what you're doing, isn't it? Just feeding it into everyday life.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you don't have to do it. I do believe that dogs should be dogs as well. I do think they should use all their senses. I think it's really important. I'm not the one to be standing there going, "Diva come, Diva come." It's not who I am. I think it'll just go on deaf ears, because he is quite forward. So when I do say it means something to him. So even if I go out, impulse control, the lead work, the recall, scent work, not all the time, but I take my dogs out twice a day. So once those walks, there's the whistle stop, the scent work, and constant the recall and the lead walk.
And those things are all really important things. So they're kind of like, if you ask your dog to do them, it's because you need them to do it. It's really important. They're almost like the non-negotiables. Like, I need you to come back. I need you to walk nicely. I need you to stop. all of those kind of things. Could you imagine if you'd not done any training with your boys and you took them out for a walk? What, how would that walk be different from how it currently is?
It's where we live, also where there's quite a few dogs in town. So I walk down the railway line with quite a few dogs. It'd be, I personally think it'd be a bit mayhem. We did, because he is forward. He is forward. I mean, he doesn't cause. He's not a fighter. He doesn't stand up to anybody. He's a dog rolling on his belly. He's very dismissive. He is. But if I didn't have him trained, I don't think he would be so happy. Vicky, I don't honestly don't believe he'd be so happy. His tail's wagging all the time, but he's always constant checking in. I just can't thought. But like I said earlier, my expectations were really high on myself to get this dog trained.
Yeah, and some dogs, quite a lot of dogs actually, particularly working line Labradors, they really do thrive on having that structure to their life. So they almost kind of like knowing what to do, when to do it, how to do it. It's, you know, they like that instruction, they like that routine, and the predictability, and knowing that when we ask them to do something, it usually leads to good stuff happening. It keeps them motivated and it keeps them engaged, really. So you went from this. So you've kind of described him as like a sedate old gentleman with Sunny, right? And you've got a little puppy that you bring into your life. Now, we know that Deifer is probably more highly strung and motivated than Sunny because of his breed. Has it been, has the reality of having this working line Labrador been different from what you thought it might have been when you picked him up at 10 weeks old?
Yes, I think it because it was so rushed in the decision we were making. I didn't even have time to think about it really. It was just I knew I was going to have this puppy, but I knew I had to have the training. No, I was fixated in this training really. But I don't think a lot of people say to me, Vicky, oh, you're so lucky to have Deepa. Because he's so calm, relaxed, he's, you know, he's good, and I think his personality has been like that. He's never bossed Sonny about ever. If anything, I think Sonny's the one who's maybe the hierarchy of the pack, not the pack, but just I think he is the one who's the boss. Sonny is the one. This is my home. You little minx, this is you're gonna go by rules, and they do play, but there is sort of one bark Sonny does, and Deep just stops, absolutely stops dead. And I've watched them. I even if there's a bit of a lip come up on Sonny he doesn't like, he'll stop. So I do trust them together. I think they do respect each other. I think the puppy learned very quickly that Sonny was the boss, really, of the house, which I'm quite pleased because sometimes that doesn't always happen.
You said something at the beginning of what you just said there, which kind of frustrated me, not because of what you said, but you said people say to you, you're so lucky to have a calm, well-behaved dog. That is my biggest frustration because it's not luck, is it?
No, my
You've not
husband.
you've not left it to chance. You were literally training your dog from the moment he came home. You've helped him, guided him, supported him. You've given him the skills and the knowledge to be the best he can be. But you've also increased your own knowledge to make sure you're giving your dog the best. And it's so frustrating to me when people say that word lucky. I promise you, the people that have got these amazing dogs did not just fall upon this stroke of luck. They've worked really, really hard. And I also don't want people listening to this that haven't got, you know, the lucky situation. You've done nothing wrong, but certainly in the situation of those lucky dog owners, they put a lot of graft into getting the great, well-behaved dog. The challenges, though, because we know he's calm, we know he's chilled out, we know you're lucky to have him. But it's not always easy, is it? So talk to us about the challenges, but specifically how you've overcome those challenges.
Yeah, I mean, the challenges within the home, I've never really had any. Toileting was really great. The crate work was really good with him. In transferring from the crate to his bed was pretty simple. But then again, I did, like I say, I did put those boundaries in from very young age. From being outside, the challenges I found with he does like to run. Oh my gosh, he is, like I said earlier, he's like a bit of a pocket rocket. So his boundaries are going a little bit too far for me. His challenge, and still is today. That's who he is. He just likes to, but I give him a whistle and he comes back. I've got to give him that trust. But the biggest, I think, and we've had so many discussions about this, Vicky, is, and I'm sure the dog owners will have the same, but he, and this is gross, I hope you're not eating, but he did used to eat Sonny's poo. Now, no matter what I did, I couldn't get him to stop doing this, and I didn't understand why he was doing this. He wasn't doing it to any of the dogs but Sonny's. And I used to run up to him, trying to catch him, trying to shout at him. None of it. And this was the first 18 months, I would say, constant. I'd go to the water and it just used to gross me out. I used to get really frustrated with him. But then I just spoke to you and spoke to other people, and in the end, I just ignored him. I thought, oh, come on, you fill your boots up then, mate, because I'm sick of shouting at you now. You just eat it away. And slowly but surely, it stopped. It's not every day now. I mean, sometime he did it today. I just ignored him. I just thought, I can't do anything. You're gonna do it. It's something which is ingrained. But then it's not every walk now or every poo. Because I felt so sorry for Sonny. He was just doing his business and I got my yellow lab right up his bottom, literally. It felt terrific. Really sorry, people. But that was one of the challenges I found. I don't understand. I don't understand why he wants to do that.
I think there'll be a lot of people listening to this that have experienced similar with their dogs. So Labradors generally don't care what they're eating as long as they're putting something inside them. Most dogs will stick to cow poo, horse poo, sheep poo, and all that kind of stuff. But dog poo is a thing as well for a lot of dogs. And there can be so many different reasons for it. But I feel with the Sunny and Deepa scenario, based on the discussions we've had, Deepa almost felt like it was something a bit naughty, and there was a lot of value to it because you'd started kind of telling him no and chasing him down to stop him doing it. So he was almost trying to do it on the sly and do it quickly before you got to him. And by taking that pressure off him and just kind of saying, right, crack on, mate, do what you want to do, he's started making that choice that he doesn't need to do it. So, would you say ignoring him has kind of almost helped a little bit?
I would say my body language, definitely. My voice, because there's no point yelling at him. He's already in that zone. For me now, there's just no point. I've just got to let him. He knows if I'm a bit closer and I stamp my foot or clap, then he'll leave it alone. But I've got to be quite close to him before he does that. So I think it was just him reading me, knowing he could get away with it, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Dogs train us as much as we train them. They're always sussing out what we're doing and why we're doing it to see what they can get away with. So that's quite a frustrating part. But what are the frustrations have you had with not just owning Deepa but Sunny and Elise? What are the biggest annoyances about having Labradors in your life?
Annoyances. Lizzie was different. She was not trained massively. She pulled on the lead terribly, where, I used to have to put a head collar on her, which I hated nearly, but I didn't know what I know now. Deepa, I think for me, is like I said earlier, is the lead walking. I was hoping he was going to crack that a little bit quicker than I want, because he's picked up everything else pretty quick. But it is just that lead walk. And if I've spent, maybe 10, 15 minutes each day going around Tesco's car park, the most boring place, doing zigzags. Some of my clients looking at me going, "What are you doing, Jim, on the Tesco's boring car park?" And he's perfect. He knows exactly what to do. But if I've got Sunny, then we're going for a walk, even if I do it a different route or a different time, he knows where he wants to go, and it is that's couple of steps, stop. And like you say, he was a yo-yo dog. Not so much pulling, but that lead would be taut, and then he'd come back, and then we'd off again. And the frustration of it was just, why can't you just walk? We'll get there. We will
Yeah,
get there, but
thing
it's
is,
taking.
trot having a dog trot alongside our leg is what we want. It feels the most comfortable, the most relaxing for us. But actually, for a young, lively dog, trotting along at our speed is really quite difficult because as humans, we're pretty slow in comparison to a young Labrador. So even when he's kind of a little bit ahead of you, he's probably trying really, really hard to kind of do what we want. And we think it should be super easy for dogs just to get, but it's tough. They've got energy, they want to run. And actually, Deef is very energetic. We know he likes to just get off that lead and dart off into the distance. But it's about creating so much habit and routine for him that he knows that when that lead is on, his only option really is just to, be in that bubble at the side of you. And although sometimes you feel that he kind of pulls ahead of you, certainly from what I've seen, we don't have a dog that's dragging you down the street. We don't have a dog that's zigzagging backwards and forwards and dragging you to the hedgerows to have a sniff. He's very well mannered on the lead. It's just that sometimes he would rather be running a marathon with you than walking down the street. Would that be kind of
Yeah,
fair assessment?
absolutely. Yes, definitely. And I've gone jogging with him. And funny enough, I go jogging with him and he's on the lead. He actually stops by my side. But I remember calling you up saying, "What am I doing wrong? Why hasn't he got this lead walking yet? Why?" And again, like I said, my expectations were quite high and I just had to bring them down. Just bring myself down. And maybe go at his, some days he's brill, some days he's not so great, and just take it all, and take those days which are really good, and those frustrating days, just park them.
Absolutely. So I'm a firm believer that when you're training a dog, you're going to have really good days and you're going to have really bad weeks. And that's just how it falls. What you've got to do is cherish those good days, put those as like little banks in your memory and say, right, that's what we're striving for. When you're having your bad weeks, you just reset every day. You go again, you go again, you assess what you're doing wrong, what can change, how you can make it better tomorrow. And you just keep working towards getting more and more good days. And that's, think about what Difa knows now compared to what he knew when he was 10 weeks old.
Well, yeah,
He's got,
he knows, absolutely knows.
he's put a heck of a lot of information into that little tiny brain nugget of his, and he's a clever lad for the age that he is. When we kind of review and assess what we've been doing in training, it's always good to see what has gone wrong. Because when you know what's gone wrong, that means you know what to improve and how to make things better in the future. So, although the word seems a bit harsh, failure, what would you say your biggest failure is from any dog interactions, really, with your dogs or other dogs? And what have you learned from it? Would you not do certain things again in the future?
Yeah, I think every dog owner would agree with this. With if I could go back with my time with Dee for 16, 18 weeks, just keep him on that long lead. Get those boundaries, those distance boundaries a bit closer, and I would have kept him on the long lead, even though I hated the long lead. Couldn't just used to drive me insane. But I really wished I could have kept him just a bit longer, a month or so, of just so he was a little bit closer to me, really. Yeah, that's if I could go back, that would be wanting, just persevere with that long lead. It would pay off. And I think that failure of mine not be really.
Yeah, I mean, long lines are frustrating. I hate them. They get muddy, they get dirty, they get smelly, wet, you get tangled up. But actually, it's just a good way to just show your dog about proximity, boundaries, and just making sure that they know where's acceptable to stray to, and making sure actually recall is always reinforced, because if you call our dogs back, it's really important that they do come back, and long lines help with that. I know also you said before about kind of chopping vegetables, right? And this is a good example of how dogs watch us and they train us and they assess what we're doing. So tell us a little bit about your vegetable chopping story.
This is the other thing I've done as well. When I prepare a meal, as we all do, we chop our veggies, and I would just pop on a little bit of carrot deep because he'd be sitting there. Now I have a yellow Labrador watching every meal I cook. If anything goes chopping on that board, he's there sitting right next to me, looking at me. Whether that most of it was just most carrots, but even if my sister's looking after him at her house, he's there just watching. Now it looks very endearing. It does. I mean, it's the cutest thing to see him sitting there just watching. But if I had my time again, I don't think I would do that. I mean, I do tell him to go in his bed and settle, and he will do. Or I just put his settle mat by my feet, and he'll lie down and just look at me and just wait and see if anything is there to drop. But yeah, I don't think I would do that again.
And that just goes to show that Labradors are really good at picking up routines. Even if we've not intentionally taught them that routine, they will pick it up and they'll do it if they know it's beneficial to them. So tell us a little bit about Sunny and Deepa. Are they still intact? Are they castrated? Have you got any thoughts on that process?
Sonny's intact, always has been. I tried when he was very young to get him done, but the vets told me not to, and so I thought, no, I won't. And like I say, he's never been any trouble for me at all. A few dogs picked on him through his life, but he's never retaliated, so I just left him. Deepa, again, I told you he's a different dog, more forward and speaking with you, Vicky. And I toyed and toyed, spoke to other people, spoke to the vets. They said, no, leave him. It was such a difficult decision. I've got to say, the people's opinions for me, I had to shut off. I really had to shut off and said, look, do I get him done? And I remember you saying, look, are you going to breed from him? No. Does he need that testosterone? No. So I went back to the vets and said, look, he doesn't have any trouble with his behaviour whatsoever, but I don't want to breed from him. So let's get this done. So I did. He was about 18 months I got him done. And he, brought him home, wasn't very nice. I felt really sorry for him, but within 48 hours, he was bouncing back to his normal self. The difference I've seen from him, he leaves all the dogs alone totally, and he did before, but it's a lot less. And I would say he's more sharper listening to me. I haven't had any experience of his change of personality whatsoever. He's still the same lovable dog as he was before and he is now, which I'm really pleased about, but I would say he's a bit more tentative to me.
Have you noticed that there's any bad things that have happened as a result?
No, none at all.
So, with the benefit of hindsight, you've lived through this experience already. If you were to rewind, back to 18 months or so, would you still go with the same choice to castrate, or would you have done something different?
I would, Vicky. I would do it again. He's a forward dog anyway. He doesn't need to be any more forward. So I would say, personally, I think I've done the right thing. My husband doesn't think so. But I think I've personally done the right thing for him. I think he's a happier. He was a happy dog anyway. He's always been happy, but I think he's just more relaxed. I think he's more in tune to me now than before.
Yeah, and we've had, many guests on this podcast that we've spoken about castration, and actually it will be different for every person, every situation, and every dog. So there's definitely no right or wrong answer, but it's just about kind of assessing your own dog, speaking to your trainer, speaking to your vet, and trying to figure out what works for your situation. And it sounds like you did put a lot of thought into it. I know you did because we've spoken about it. And you came to the right decision. So did you get lots of differing opinions? You mentioned about you had to block out what other people were saying to you. Did you get strong opinions on it?
Yes, but a lot. Saying, oh, he's going to get fat. His coat's not going to be very nice. You're ruining your dog. Oh, I used to find them very. I think that was the toughest decision of all, really, of people's thoughts. And I think you've just got to ignore. You know your own dog. You know him in the home. You know him outside. Then what do you want from your dog? And I want my dog. I'd never wanted to breed him, so that was just a no-no. And I want him to be more in tune with me. I want him to listen a bit more to me. And he has, for sure. He has, and he does.
So you've got a happy, healthy
Lovely.
dog.
Yes. I mean, he's always been a slight thin dog because we've always spoke about this. And this was the other thing people used to tell me, and they still do, saying, oh, he's too skinny, but he's a slight Labrador and he's got loads of energy. And I know in my heart now that he's happier. And I could feed him up, but that's not, because we're so used to seeing quite chubby Labradors. And he's quite slight, and since he's been done, he's still the same.
You're right. We're used to seeing, overweight Labradors just plodding behind people. And that's, usually it's kind of more of the show type dogs. Deifer is very much a, an energetic, athletic built working line Labrador. So different ways to kind of look at it, really. He is slight, but he's certainly not, he's not malnourished, is he? He gets plenty of good food and stuff like that. He's just an energetic young worker. You've mentioned a couple of times about you now understand much more about dogs and Labradors and how they tick and how they learn. So you have now decided that you want to know more about dogs and training dogs. So talk to us about kind of where you're at now with training and knowing a little bit more about what you're doing.
I've enjoyed my journey with Deepa. I have, and I've learned so much about me, about Labradors, how clever they are, and what joy you get out of a dog who really wants to please, and that connection you have. So I wanted to explore a little bit more, and I had discussions with yourself, Vicky, and I think you said earlier that I'm a dog walker professionally. I own my own business. So I wanted to be a bit, maybe do a bit diversity as well and go into dog training, and look at that. So I'm starting my course this month, which is going to take me a good 6 to 8 months of doing that. So I've really, like I said, enjoyed my journey with Deef, and I want to pass that on to other people.
You're going to be a perfect dog trainer. You've certainly learnt on the job, if you like, with Deifer, haven't you, in the last 2 years, that's for sure. So now you know a bit more about dogs, you know a bit more about training, how they work. What would you say is probably the biggest misunderstanding that people have when they get a Labrador? So people that have never had a dog and they think, right, I'm going to go get a puppy. Labrador is the one I'm going to go for.
Yeah, first, I think if you're going to get a lab, it's a great breed, great family pet. But they've got energy, huge amounts of energy, and you've got to feed and tap into that energy. Don't you think for 1 minute that you're going to get a Labrador is going to sit in your house all day long? It isn't going to happen. They're very intelligent dogs. Feed that intelligence. They're so willing to learn for you and help you. I just can't not think what it would be like for them having no boundaries, and no recall, and safety is paramount. I think for them, because I don't think when they're out, they absolutely have any intelligence when they're going running or going up to other dogs, or that they've got to have that guidance. If they don't have any guidance, their safety has gone out the window, because
Yeah.
they're just out there gone. And they have no thought process when they're in the middle of the field, when there's a pack of dogs. They just want to bounce and play. And then if they don't, they get nervous, because maybe a dog snapped at them, and then you've got other problems with them. Not all, but then they get a little bit anxious. So they look for you to keep them safe. So I couldn't not think about having a dog without the training, especially Labradors.
So if someone's gone out and they've kind of got this puppy at 8 weeks old, what bit of advice specific to training would you give them? So when to start, what type of training, how to do it, where to get, help, support, guidance. What have you found useful for you?
Yeah, I mean, personally, I can only go on my experience, but like I said, I trained Deeper straight away. Within a week, I had him at home. People, maybe think, oh, this young puppy needs a lot of love and babying. But assure you, they are so clever. So I would go straight into training straight away. Whether that's, people's lifestyles are very different, whether they want one-to-one or internet training, which I thought at first was going to be a bit strange, but it wasn't. It worked really well. There was just me, Deepa, and yourself, and you were telling me to help Deep, and it worked really well. There was no distractions. People like puppy classes because they want to, integrate their dogs, and that's fine. But for me personally, it worked really well. We got that connection within the first 6 weeks of him living with us, and the words, the cue words, were just invaluable.
Yeah, and I love online training for puppies specifically because you and I live fairly close together. We could have done training for Difa in person, but when you've got a little puppy, they get very distracted very quickly. And actually having a stranger in your house or your garden or a village hall, it's a bit weird for a puppy. Whereas if you're training online, it's live and interactive. You've kind of got your trainer there with you, but they're just hidden behind this computer screen, so there's no distraction for the dog really. Did you ever have like any bandanas or sleeves or vests or anything for Difa just to try and keep him, I don't know, keep the area a bit sterile and safe for him while you're out and about?
Yeah, I had a sleeve with puppy in training, and I would definitely recommend anybody to do this because he was cute. Oh gosh, he was cute. And I think Rich thought, oh God, well, you're completely mad, why are you doing that? But oh my gosh, it stopped people coming straight at us. So it stopped him jumping up, stopped him nipping. I got him to sit. They'd ask me to say, oh, what are you training for? I said, oh, no, I'm just training him for myself as a family pet. Oh, okay. Can I stroke him? Yeah, if he's sitting, you can stroke. And I used to take him into cafes with this training, puppy training, and it works so well. Because I mean, you do want people to say hello to your dog. I've no nothing against that, but you don't want your dog so hyper that the rest of your training, even if it's just another 5 minutes, has gone out the window because somebody's shouting, "What a cute puppy!" and his voice is really loud and he's jumping. Because their lives are so very short at that age as well. It's that catchment of their little lives where you've just got to catch it because it goes so quickly.
Yeah.
So I would definitely say, if anybody's going to get a puppy in training sleeve, I think you get a lot of respect from other people.
Yeah, and part of what that is, it says as their carers managing a situation. So we don't get random people coming up and just petting our dog or frustrating them or getting them all excited. Because when you've got a puppy, you need to manage it so carefully just to make sure they're constantly in the right place, the right frame of mind, they're learning the right things from the right type of experiences. And it's certainly one way that will help that. If any of our listeners are in that stage now where they've got a puppy and they're just finding it a little bit difficult, I suppose. What would you say to them if someone's got challenges around having their Labrador puppy?
Yeah, and I think you're not on your own. We've all been there. We've all been there, definitely. I would go back to basics. Just go back to basics. Just stop. And consistency, just always just try and be consistent, whether that's you and the whole family. I think that's really important for a puppy. No 2 days are going to be the same. So just take one bit of training at a time and consistency.
Yeah,
That's
just
and you will get there. You
yeah.
absolutely, I didn't think I would, but you do absolutely get there.
It can feel really overwhelming. You look at this great big picture of all the things you want your dog to do, and you think, how am I going to get there? One foot in front of the other. That's the best way to do it, just one thing at a time. What's the future holding for Deepa then? Now he's kind of at this age. So I know previously you did a bit of therapy work with Sunny. Is that something that's on the cards for Deepa?
Yes, I would love to go. I'm a bit big advocate for pets as therapy. I did it with Sonny. He the children used to read at him with him at the primary school here in Tetbury, and I used to take him into hospital where I used to work, and he loved it. But he's just a bit too old now. The places are a little bit too hot for him, and so I put him a bit on retirement, but I would love that to do the same with Deepa. He's a little bit too young at the moment. I think I'm going to give him another year or so, just to settle down a bit, just get used to those people. We get assessed. You can't just do it. You have to be assessed for it. They've got to see that connection with your dog.
And
So the future.
how have you found that that helps other people? So how does having a dog assist other people that you go and help?
Oh, it's amazing. Especially, well, the children was amazing. The relaxing, there's no judgment. Dogs don't judge. If you're struggling, he just sat there, and there was children just had their hand on his bottom, and they would just read. And I was just sitting there. I didn't do anything, but it just to see them relax. Amazing experience with people with dementia. Some people who've had retrievers or labs or any sort of dog sort of brings the smile back on the faces. That was really rewarding. And if I was in hospital, you'd bring a dog to me and I'd be happy. That's
I totally would. Dogs are way better than people.
exactly. So that was yeah, it's a great charity, which
Good.
I hopefully. If Deepa does pass the assessment, I'd like to do that again.
It'll be good to see Deepa wearing his therapy dog tabard in the very near future, hopefully. I'm going to look out for that one.
Definitely.
Jules, while we've got you, you've already mentioned you're a professional dog walker. So I think it's really relevant that we chat about dog walkers because most people need people to come in and help them look after their dog, whether it's while they're at work or away on holiday and things like that. So you've got a good insight as to what it involves and probably can advise people what to look for when they're looking for a reputable dog walker about, making sure their dog's going to be cared for. So let's talk about, your top things to look for when getting a dog walker. So someone that is new to having a dog and they need someone to come in and look after them during the day, what are they going to do?
Yeah, I mean, I get inquiries for myself. I've been a dog walker for about 3 3.5 years now, within the Tetbury area. I think if somebody, what I would do, I only can do, say how what I do, but if I get an inquiry about a dog, there's a few questions I like to know. One, I always would like to go and see them first, dog in their own home to assess what it is, sit with the family, to view the dog, to see the body language of the dog, make people do a form with lots of questions because we all have different keywords for our dogs. I'll do always a one-to-one first. I'll never introduce my dogs into my other dogs walking. I always like to do a one-to-one just to see, get that bond with us, because if you think strangers coming into your house, picking your dog, taking it out, never had that before. You do need to get it used to yourself. Lots of questions like safety, what lead, what harness, muzzle. Let them tell me what their normal routine is for the dog just to even leave the house. Traveling, I always test my dogs in my van, get them to sniff around it, let them have a look, let them walk away. If they want to jump in, that's great. If they don't, I'll work on the jumping so it's a positive experience for my dogs. I always go out of town. I never walk in town, so I do all field walk. That's what I specialise in mostly. One, because it's a bit safer, there's more space. And for me, I enjoy it. If I enjoy it, the dogs are enjoying it. It's not a chore for me. It's a joy. I enjoy it.
I've seen dog walkers with, it seems like dozens of dogs. It's probably not that much, but I always kind of think, how do you control so many dogs if you need to? I mean, do you kind of have restrictions on how many you're allowed to take out at a time?
I'm only insured for six.
Okay.
If you see a dog walker, more than six dogs are not insured. It's most important that a dog walker has liability insurance, personal insurance. So if anything happens to my dogs in the van or out, they are insured. Always ask a dog walker how many dogs they walk at a time. And like you said earlier, to have fully control of those six dogs, I can tell you it's hard work. I've had five, but one of those of mine. And don't be afraid to ask your dog walker whether you could go out with them. Please ask. I would always love one of my clients to come out with me. They're more than welcome so they can see what I'm doing. A lot of people don't do that. So
And
that's.
I suppose as well, it's even if you've got your dog out with a walker, you want to know, it's almost like a school report, right? You want to know, did they behave themselves? Were there any challenges? Is there anything I need to work on with training? And you know, did they misbehave? Were they okay around the dogs? Because these are all good things that owners really need to know to help their dogs improve.
I've had to turn down clients because their dogs aren't trained, their recall isn't good. And like I said, I'm totally solely responsible by law, I'm responsible for your dog. So if anything happens or anything, say even if the dog ran out into the road and got knocked over and got incident, or car hit a tree because of the dog on the road, I'm responsible for that. So if your dog hasn't got recall, it's hard work. It's not pleasurable for me. It's not. It's the safety is massive. So it's not just oh, find a dog walker and oh, they'll walk the dog and that is, there is a lot more to it, a lot more. It's a great job. I love it. But there is a responsibility,
Have you
and
ever
then I.
had any visitors, you know, dog visitors for your dog walking where you've just assessed it and you thought, you know what, this dog is not best suited to a group dog walk? Do you kind of tell the owners that?
Yes, because for me, what's best for the dog is not what's best for me. I think it's what's best for that dog. You
Yeah,
wouldn't
and
do
you're responsible making sure they're happy, healthy,
anything.
and well looked after. And it sounds
Yeah.
like you're doing a great job with it, to be honest.
The joy they get when I pull up and they just want to jump in my van is amazing. It is amazing.
So if any of our listeners are in the Tetbury area of Gloucestershire in the UK that are listening to this and need a dog walker, where can they find you?
Yeah, they can find me on Wainwright Walks Dogs. I've got a website fully. I don't massive, and I should, I know I should. I don't do masses of advertising. It's all word of mouth for me.
So wainwrightwalksdogs.co.uk. If you like what Jules is saying, please go check her out and give her some support. Jules, thank you so much for giving us a really good insight into the life that you are very, very lucky to share with Deepa and Sunny. From my point of view, you are the very best type of dog owner. That's because you're really invested in their training. You're realistic about what they're capable of. You have done a load to improve your own knowledge to help your dogs be the best that they can be. And I know that you are going to have very many happy years ahead with your boys, but also all those other dogs that you're going to be working with once you qualify as your dog trainer. So, to those of you that are listening, I hope that you found what Jules has said to be useful. But if you do need some extra support, drop me a message at hello@talesofsuccess.com and we'll help you get back on that path to achieving training success. Thanks for joining us. Find out more by checking out talesofsuccess.com or search at Tales Success on your social channels.